We have been, this month, during the entire season of Lent, we will be talking about the final week of Jesus' life. And so we've spent a few weeks talking about Palm Sunday, Monday, today. If I were to align the Gregorian calendars, get everything all lined up, it would be March 27th, Tuesday, the year 33 AD. The disciples, at the beginning of Tuesday, come back into town from Bethany, and they point to a withered fig tree that Jesus had cursed the day before. Jesus took that opportunity to teach them something about their faith in God. He says, if you have faith and no doubts, you can throw even a mountain out into the sea. And if the disciples had really been listening, they would have understood that he wasn't talking about withering fig trees and crumbling mountains. He was talking about their very lives. The religious leaders on Tuesday are worried about everything that happened when Jesus messed up the temple the day before. And so they're afraid of Jesus, and Tuesday is going to be filled with a lot of challenges for Jesus. Conflict and more conflict. As Jesus enters the temple, crowds gather to hear him teach, and the chief priests, scribes, and elders waste no time in making their move. They will try to lay several traps for Jesus, and we're going to read the first one right here. Mark 11, beginning with verse 27. They arrived in Jerusalem, and while Jesus was walking in the temple courts, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and elders came to him, and they said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you the authority to do this?" Jesus replied, "I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, was it from heaven or of human origin? Tell me." And they discussed it among themselves and said, "Well, you know, if we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? And if we say of human origin," they feared people that were gathered there, for everyone held that John was a prophet. And so they answered Jesus, "We don't know." And Jesus said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." The word of God for the people of God. Excuse me. So these were sticky wicket questions. Anybody ever heard the sticky wicket? These were the difficult questions designed to entrap Jesus, and I am now going to entrap all of you by asking a few questions. And by the way, shout out the answer if you know it. Leslie West.
I'll be quiet.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. That's something from the early service. An electric train is moving along the track at 100 miles an hour. A wind is blowing at 10 miles per hour directly into the train. Which way does the smoke blow? Because there's no smoke, because it's an electric train. Many of you got that, no problem. If there are 6 apples and you take away 4, how many apples do you have? 2, some people say. 4, why do I only have 4? Because I took 4, that's right. And how far can you walk into the woods?
Halfway.
Why halfway? Because then you're walking out. You all are very smart. How many times can you subtract 10 from 100? Why can you only subtract it once? Because then you're taking 10 away from 90. Yes, that is... We would categorize these as trick questions. They're not that tricky, but they are trick questions. And there were times on Tuesday of the final week when Jesus was asked trick questions, And there were also many of those times when he asked questions of his own to confound and convict his listeners. And the first sticky, tricky, wicked question, or whatever you want to call it, designed to trap Jesus, was about his authority. By whose authority did you cleanse the temple? Jesus didn't answer their question. He didn't take the bait. Instead, he turned the table on them. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? And if they responded it was from heaven, then the next question would be obvious. Then why don't you believe the one who testifies about it, John? Why don't you believe in John would have been the question. And they certainly did not want to risk alienating all of these crowds that held John in high esteem. So they chose not to answer. But that was not all that they did that day. The leaders did not give up. They would not leave Jesus alone. And when I called this sermon Conflict and More Conflict, it goes on and on all the way through chapter 13. And I want to share some of those conflicts that happened just briefly with you. They tried a new tactic after they didn't get a satisfying answer about John. They send in Pharisees. And just as a reminder, Pharisees are a religious sect of Judaism that really love the law. They also sent in with the Pharisees a group of Herodians. Those are people who were loyal to Herod and to his dynasty. And they ask him a question. They say, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And we've all talked about this. You've thought about it. If Jesus says yes, then he shatters all of these crowds of people who are gathered with him's expectations that he is the Messiah. If he says no, then immediately the Pharisees are going to run in with the shackles and take Jesus away for talking that way. And Jesus defies and evades the dilemma. He says, well, look at the denarius. It has Caesar's image on it. As long as Caesar is in power, it's appropriate to pay taxes to him. And then he goes on and says, and give to God the things that are God. Since God made you and gave you all the blessings that you have, it's appropriate for you to give to God too. So he says basically, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. And Jesus was silencing the Pharisees and the Herodians, but that didn't stop them. They sent in next the Sadducees. Sadducees are a sect that don't believe in the end time resurrection of the dead. And they tried to ridicule Jesus' belief in the resurrection by asking him a trick question. He asked them directly about marriage in heaven. Who's going to be married to who in the resurrection? Jesus tells them that they don't understand the scriptures, because there is no marriage in heaven, Jesus says. And he points to this text from Exodus 3:6, and he says, what you don't understand is God is the God of the living, not dead. And they grow silent. Probably some of the people in the crowd were smirking as they left. And the Pharisees are not done yet. Next, they send in an expert on the law. And he says, which of God's commands is the greatest of all? And you know the famous line. God, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus, in talking with this expert in the law that was sent in, he realized that there was something good going on in that man's heart. And so at the end of the conversation, he says, you know, you really are not far from the kingdom of heaven. And as the conflict is escalating on this Tuesday, Jesus begins to ask some of his own questions. He looks at them, all of these religious leaders, and says, how can the Messiah be David's son? And this really throws them into a tizzy. I mean, they are totally, I'm trying to think of another funny word, they are all flummoxed by this question. They don't know how to answer. He quotes to them Psalm 110:1, and he says to them, no one that does not understand this can defy me. They grow silent. Again, they have nothing else to ask him. And they dare, the scriptures say, ask him no more questions. And I didn't even cover it all. And you may not have realized that all of these texts are on Tuesday of the final week of Jesus' life. We've talked about them at different times with different messages and ideas, but all of them happened on Tuesday during the final week. Escalating conflict, they are afraid, is going to lead to the overthrow of the religious leaders' control of the temple. It may even lead to the overthrow of the control the Romans have. And so they want to think about how they can stop Jesus. And as the day comes to an end, Jesus and the disciples begin to head back to Bethany, where they've been spending the night. And they stop on the Mount of Olives to rest. And they have a wonderful view of Jerusalem as the sun begins to set. And I wish I had a picture of what it would look like to them that day. I don't. But I do have a picture of what Jerusalem looks like today from the Mount of Olives. The disciples are marveling at the size and grandeur of all these impressive buildings. But Jesus tells them that a day is soon coming when not a single stone will be left standing one upon the other. And he explains to the disciples and those who are with him that there's going to be in your life increasing persecution and tribulation, and it's going to lead up to the final day of judgment. But our task, your task, Jesus says to those apostles and disciples who are with him, is to remain vigilant and persistent in the faith. Tuesday is now done. And Jesus knows that Friday is coming. And it is not the flannel board Jesus that my Sunday school teacher used to show me. It is the historical Jesus who is there with them, is in full control, and I think knows what is happening and what is going on. And he sees all of these traps that are coming at him from all sides. We started with this question, where do you get this authority from that you can come into our temple and turn over the tables and throw all the people out? And when we reflect on all these conflicts that have happened and the questions, I think we can see where Jesus' authority comes from. And so as you this week reflect on Tuesday of the final week, I want to ask you to give Jesus the authority in your life to help you clear out a few things that you're doing that maybe you're not contributing to bringing wholeness to the world, to let Jesus have control of your life so that you will no longer have a separation between you and God. Amen? Amen.